enemies, defeat your own city, Jerusalem. It was then that I said to myself, the Babylonians must be better than we are, or else they couldn't have defeated Jerusalem. But when I got to Babylon, I saw more wickedness than I could have imagined, and for the past 30 years, I have seen a lot of evil people. I was very confused when I saw that you did not punish sinners and attack our enemies, yet you completely wiped out your own people. You didn't even tell us how to make sense of all this. Are the people of Babylonia really that much better than those of Jerusalem? Israel has been the only nation to worship you and accept your agreement. But you have not honored the Israelites or helped them succeed. I have seen many wealthy nations in the world, and none of them obey or worship you. Compare our sins to those of foreigners, and you will see that foreigners are much more wicked. It's true that people have always sinned against you, but Israel has been more loyal to your law than any other nation on earth. Here and there you may find one or two people who have completely obeyed your law, but you will never find an entire nation. The angel Uriel questions Ezra. Chapter 4. God sent the angel Uriel to me, and Uriel said, Ezra, you don't understand what happens on earth. Do you really think you could understand what God Most High does? I said, yes, sir, I do. Uriel continued, I have been sent to ask you 3 riddles. If you can answer just one of them correctly, then I will answer your questions about how God treats people, and I will explain why people do evil things. I replied, I'm ready for you to ask. Uriel said, all right. How do you weigh fire? How do you measure a puff of wind? How do you bring back the past? I answered, don't ask me that. No person alive could answer those questions. Uriel replied, I didn't ask you how many things live at the bottom of the ocean, or how many streams run through the middle of the earth, or how much water is held in the sky. And I didn't ask you how to leave the world of the dead or enter heaven. Ezra, if I had asked such questions, you would have told me that you had never been to the bottom of the ocean, or to the world below, or to heaven above. Instead, I asked you about things you already know about, such as fire and wind and the past. But you couldn't answer my questions about those things either. If you don't understand things that have been part of your life, how do you expect to understand how God Most High works in this world? No one living in this corrupt world will ever be able to understand the Holy God. When I heard Uriel say this, I fell to my knees in agony and cried out, I wish we humans had never been created. Then we would not have to live in an evil world where we suffer without knowing why. A lesson from a forest and the sea. Uriel said to me, one time I went into a forest and heard the trees say to each other, let's attack the sea and push it back so we can have more room for trees. At exactly the same time, the waves of the sea were saying to each other, let's flood the forest so we can have more room. The plan made by the forest was worthless because a fire burned down every tree. And the plan made by the sea was just as useless because the sand along the shore blocked its way. Suppose you had to judge the forest and the sea. Which one would be right? I answered, "They both had foolish plans. Trees belong in a forest, while waves belong in the sea." Uriel replied, "Right. So why can't you answer your own questions? Trees belong in the forest, and waves belong in the sea. And so it is with people. They can understand only what happens on earth, and God alone can understand what happens in heaven." Why doesn't God help us? Then I asked the angel Uriel, "Why was I given the gift of understanding these difficult things? After all, I asked only about what happens on earth, not about what goes on in heaven. I want to know why God allowed foreign nations to defeat and disgrace Israel. Why has he let the people he loves be controlled by wicked nations? Why do people ignore the law he gave our ancestors? Our lives seem no longer than a breath. Why do we die as suddenly as locusts? We do not deserve to receive God's mercy. But why doesn't God help us for the sake of his own reputation? These are the questions I want answered." Uriel replied, "Even if you live a long time, you will still be amazed at what happens. The end of time will come suddenly. It must come, because the present days are filled with sadness and evil, and faithful people will never be blessed as God has promised until these days end. You asked me about this evil world. I tell you that evil has already been planted, but it hasn't been harvested. Yet it must be harvested soon, so that the world can end and goodness can be planted in its place. Long ago, a small seed of evil was planted in Adam's heart. And since then, everyone has constantly sinned against God. Yet that seed will produce even more wickedness before it is harvested. This one small seed has produced so much sin and hatred that at the end of time, a huge threshing place will be needed to trample all those heads of evil grain. When will the end of time come? I then asked the angel Uriel, "When will the end of time come? How long must we wait before these things happen? Why are our lives so short and miserable?" He answered, "Don't try to rush what God Most High has planned. You are concerned only about yourself, yet God is concerned about everyone. The souls waiting for the end of time are anxious to receive their reward for being faithful to God. And they have also asked how long they would have to wait. The chief angel Jeremiah told them that when the number of faithful people is complete, their reward will come. He said that God has measured this age. He has counted its years and days and will not let them end until everything happens just as he has planned. But sir, I said, those of us who are alive are terrible sinners. Are the souls of the faithful having to wait to be rewarded just because we are so evil? He replied, can a woman stop her baby from being born after being pregnant for 9 months? No, sir, I answered, she cannot. Then he said, the place where the souls are waiting in the world below is like a mother's womb. That place is in a hurry to give back these souls that have been there since the beginning of time, just as a pregnant woman is in a hurry to end the pain of childbirth. When these souls leave the world below, then all your questions will be answered. Ezra sees a vision of fire and water. I said to the angel Uriel, "If you think I can understand and am worthy to know, would you please tell me one more thing? Is the time we have yet to wait for the end of time longer than the time we have already waited? I know how long we've waited in the past, but I don't know about the future." Uriel replied, "Stand at my right side, and I will show you a vision and explain what it means." As I stood there, I saw a fiery furnace move past me with a trail of smoke following behind. Then I saw a rain cloud float by, and it brought a heavy rainstorm. And soon the downpour was just a sprinkle of rain. Uriel said, "I want you to think about what you just saw. The downpour was heavier than the sprinkle, and the fire was hotter than the smoke. The time you must wait for the end of time is like the sprinkle and the smoke. The time that has already passed will be much longer than the time to wait." I asked, "Will I live to see the end of time? Who will be alive when it comes?" He answered, "I cannot tell you how long you will live. I don't know. I can only tell you about some of the signs that show the end of time is coming." The Signs of the End of Time. Uriel the angel said to Ezra, Chapter 5. I will tell you the signs that show the end of time is coming soon. Everyone on earth will be completely confused. Truth will be impossible to find, and no one will have the faith to survive. People will become more wicked than you've ever seen or heard. The nation now ruling the world will be an empty wasteland. And if God Most High lets you live long enough, you will later see that nation completely confused. The sun will shine during the night, and the moon will shine during the day. Blood will drip from trees while rocks cry out. No one will understand why the planets and stars are different from usual. A ruler no person on earth wants will begin to rule, and all birds will fly away. The Dead Sea will even produce fish. People everywhere will hear an unknown voice at night, and riots will break out everywhere on earth. Fires will suddenly start in different places, and wild animals will freely leave the forests. Women who are having their period will give birth to monsters. Fresh water will become salty, and friends will violently attack each other. Then understanding and wisdom will go into hiding. Everyone will search for wisdom, but never find it. Wickedness will be so common that people everywhere will do only what is evil. Nations will ask one another, "Has anyone honest and good ever come to your land?" But the answer will certainly be no. This will be a time when people get nothing they hope for and receive nothing for their hard work. That is all I can tell you about the signs of the end of time. Yet if you pray again and cry as you have done and go without eating for 7 days, then you will learn even more things. Ezra wakes up. I woke up, and every part of my body was trembling in fear. I was in so much agony that I almost fainted. But the angel Uriel, who had spoken to me, reached down and helped me to my feet. The next night, a leader named Phaltiel came to me and said, "Where have you been? And why do you look sad? You have been appointed the ruler of the Israelites living in exile. Get up and eat something. Don't abandon us like a shepherd who lets vicious wolves attack his sheep." I said to him, "Leave me alone for 7 days. Then you can come back." So he left. The second vision. Ezra again complains to God. "I cried and went without eating for the next 7 days, just as the angel Uriel had commanded. After that I became very upset and troubled, just like before. But soon I could think better, and once again I prayed to God Most High. I said, 'Our Lord God, you have chosen this vine from all the trees in the world, and you have chosen this small nation from all those on earth. You have picked this one lily from all the flowers, and you have selected one river from all the water in the oceans. Out of all the cities on earth, you have chosen to call only Jerusalem your own. And from all the birds that have lived, you have chosen this dove, and from all the animals, this one sheep. You have chosen us to be your special people from all the people on earth, and you have given us your law that is respected by everyone everywhere. So why have you disgraced your own people more than all others by letting enemy nations defeat and scatter us across the earth? We have trusted your solemn promises, yet foreigners who reject you have trampled and beaten us. If you hate us so much and want us to be punished, then do it yourself." The angel Uriel answers Ezra. After I had finished complaining to God, he sent the angel Uriel to answer me. Uriel said, "Listen carefully, and I will tell you more things." I replied, "Please speak, sir." Then he said, "You seem very upset about the people of Israel. Do you think you love them more than God, their Creator, does?" "No, sir," I answered. "I said these things because I am worried and constantly distressed. I don't understand why God Most High is treating Israel so terribly." Uriel said, "You cannot understand." I answered, "If not, then I should have died before I was born. At least I would not have seen my people suffer so long." He replied, "Tell me how many people will be born in the future. Collect all the raindrops in one place, and make dried flowers bloom again. Open the rooms where the wind waits to blow, and describe what a sound looks like. If you can do these 5 things, then I will tell you why the people of Israel are suffering." I said, "Sir, I am merely your servant. No one can do these things except God. I don't know about such things, so I cannot answer you." Uriel replied, "Just as you cannot do even one of these things I asked, you can never understand why God punishes the people of Israel, or why he promised to love them forever." Everyone will be brought back to life. I asked the Lord God, "I know you care about the people who are alive at the end of time, but what about those who have already died, or those of us who are alive now, or those who will be born after us? Will you care about those as well? The Lord answered, My concern for people at the end of time is like a circle. It has no beginning and no end. I will care about all people, whether they arrive first or last. I said, You could have shown that concern sooner if you had created all people to live at the same time. He replied, The world and its people can only be created when I choose. Besides, if everyone had lived at the same time, there would be no room for all of them. Then I said, But you told me that someday you will bring back to life at the same time everyone who has ever lived. If the world could hold everybody then, why can't it hold everybody now? The Lord asked, Could a woman give birth to 10 children at the exact same time? No, I answered. Only 1 child can be born at a time. He said, That's the way it is with the world. I have made it so that a certain number of people live here at a time. Just as neither a very young girl nor an old woman can give birth, so the world can be filled with people only when I choose. Then I said, Since you mentioned a young girl and an old woman, I want to ask another question. Is the world young or old? The Lord answered, Find a mother who has many children, and ask her why her older children are bigger than her younger ones. She will tell you that the children born when she was younger are healthier than those born when she was older. You are smaller than the people who lived long ago, and those who live after you will be even smaller. That's because this world is getting older and isn't as strong as it used to be. God is in charge of the end of time. I said to the Lord, If you will, please tell me who will judge the world at the end of time. Chapter 6 The Lord answered, I decided that when I created the world, before the doors of the world were put in place, or the wind started to blow, before thunder roared or lightning flashed, before the foundations of heaven were laid, before beautiful flowers bloomed or stars moved across the sky or crowds of angels gathered together, before the sky and heaven were set in the air and given names, before I chose Mount Zion as my own or years were counted, before the evil plans of sinners were destroyed, or people who faithfully worshiped me were counted as mine. Before all these things happened, I made the decision that since I alone had created the world and everything in it, I alone would bring it to an end. I asked, How much time will pass between the end of the present age and the beginning of the next? The Lord answered, The same amount of time that passed between Abraham and his son Isaac, who was the father of the twins Jacob and Esau. Esau was born first, but Jacob was holding on to Esau's heel as they were born. Esau's heel is like the end of this present age, and Jacob's hand is like the beginning of the next age. There's no space in between the two, so don't look for any. More signs of the end of time. I said to Uriel the angel, Sir, would you please show me more signs of the end of time? You showed me only some of them the other night. Uriel answered, Stand up, and you will hear a loud voice. Don't be afraid if the place where you are standing begins to shake back and forth while the voice is speaking. The message will be about the end of time, and the foundations of the earth will know that the message is about them. They will tremble in fear because they know they will be changed when the end comes. So I stood up and listened. I heard a voice as loud as a roaring ocean, and it said, "Soon I will come to judge all people on earth and punish everyone who does evil. Then Jerusalem's time of disgrace will end, and the present age will begin to disappear, because I will bring it to a close. I will show the following signs. The books which list the names of my people will be opened in the sky where everyone can see them. Children a year old will begin speaking, and pregnant women will give birth after only 3 or 4 months, yet the babies will live and play. Fields where seeds have been planted will be bare, and barns that were full will be empty. A trumpet will be blown, and everyone will be terrified. Friends will suddenly become enemies. The earth and all living things will tremble with fear. Rivers and springs will stop flowing for 3 hours. I will rescue everyone who survives these disasters, and they will live to see the end of this world. They will meet those who were taken up into heaven without dying. The hearts of everyone on earth will be changed so that evil will disappear. Faithfulness will increase and overcome wickedness, and truth will be seen after being hidden for so long." While this voice was speaking, I felt the ground under me begin shaking back and forth. Then Uriel said to me, "I have come tonight to show you these things, but if you pray and go without eating for 7 more days, I will show you even greater things, because God Most High has heard your prayer. Our mighty God has watched you obey and do right since you were young, and so he sent me to show these things and to tell you to be brave and trust him to keep you safe. If you waste time worrying and asking about the past, then you will be in a rush when the end comes." The third vision. How long will foreign nations rule over us? Sometime later, I cried and went without eating for 7 more days, just as I had done before, and so my 3 weeks of sorrow were complete. Then on the very next night, I once again became upset and started praying to God Most High. I was very depressed and nervous, but I prayed, "Our Lord, on the first day of creation you said, 'I command the heavens and the earth to appear,' and they did just as you commanded. There was a wind blowing, while a silent darkness covered everything. No human voice could be heard. Then you commanded bright light to shine from your storehouse of light, so that your creation could be seen. On the second day, you created the spirit of the dome, and commanded it to separate the water above from the water below. On the third day, you commanded the water to come together and cover 1/7 of the world. You dried up the other 6 parts to make them useful for planting and harvesting crops. As soon as you commanded these things, they happened. All kinds of fruits and vegetables suddenly appeared, each of them different and tasty. Colorful, sweet-smelling flowers began blooming. All of this happened on the third day. On the fourth day, you commanded the sun, the moon, and the stars to shine in the sky, and you gave them orders to serve the humans you would soon make. On the fifth day, you commanded the ocean to be filled with birds, fishes, and other living creatures, and it happened. The water that had no life of its own produced living creatures, just as you commanded, so that nations would be amazed at your creation. You named two of these living creatures. One was Behemoth, and the other was Leviathan. You put them in different places because the ocean could not hold them both. Behemoth was sent to live on dry land, in an area covered with thousands of mountains. Leviathan was allowed to live in the ocean. You created them both so that the people you choose can eat them at the time you have decided. On the sixth day, you commanded the earth to give life to tame animals, wild animals, and reptiles. Then you created Adam and made him the ruler over everything you had created. We, your chosen people, are his descendants. I have told you this, our Lord, because you said that you created the world for our sake alone. And you said that the rest of the nations on earth, even though they are also descendants of Adam, are as worthless as spit. They are no more important to you than a single drop of water in a bucket. But these nations are the ones that have defeated us and are ruling over us. You have called us your firstborn child, and we are the only people you have chosen as your own. You honor and love us, although you allowed enemy nations to conquer us. If this world was created for us, then how long must we wait before we can take control? The angel Uriel answers Ezra. Chapter 7. After I had finished praying, God sent the angel Uriel to me, just as he had done twice before. Uriel said, "Stand up, Ezra, and listen to what I have to say." I said, "Sir, I'm ready to listen." Uriel replied, "Suppose there is a very large and deep ocean, but the only way into the ocean is through a narrow opening no wider than a stream. Anyone who wants to visit this ocean or take control of it will first have to go through this narrow place. Now suppose that in a large valley there is a city filled with good things. But the gate of the city is on a narrow and steep place, with fire on the right side and deep water on the left. The path to the gate is so narrow that only one person can walk on it at a time. If someone inherited the city, the only way to get there would be to walk along this dangerous path." I said, "You're right, sir." Then Uriel said, "That's how it is with the people of Israel. God created this world for them. But when Adam disobeyed him, God punished the entire world. So the ways into this world became narrow and dangerous. There are only a few paths, and they are difficult to walk on and are filled with evil. But the ways into the better world to come are wide and safe, and they lead to everlasting life. People must pass through the difficult and evil ways of this life before they receive the good things waiting for them in the world to come. Now I ask you, Ezra, why are you so upset and worried that you will someday die? Stop thinking about the present and think instead about the age to come." I answered, "Sir, the Lord God said in his law that people who do right will be blessed with good things, and that people who do evil will die. I understand that good people can suffer difficulties along this narrow way, because they know they will reach the better world. But those who do evil will suffer the same difficulties, and never see any good things. Uriel replied, Do you think you could treat people fairer than God Most High treats them, or understand more than he does? Many of today's evil people would be better off to die than to disobey the law that God has given them. God clearly told everyone how he wants them to live so they could avoid being punished. But a lot of them refused to listen and disobeyed him. They were fools and did wicked and selfish things. They acted as if God Most High did not exist, and they decided to abandon his ways. They rejected his law and his solemn promises, and they ignored everything he commanded. Ezra, that's why evil people will receive nothing, and good people will receive much. The Final Judgment. God said to Ezra, Very soon you will see all the signs I have told you about. The city and the land that are now hidden will appear, and everyone who survives the disasters I have warned you about will see me do amazing things. I have chosen my son to be my special servant, and very soon he and others with him will appear, bringing 400 years of peace to the survivors. After those years of peace, he and every person left alive will die, and the world will be completely empty for 7 days, just as it was at the beginning of time. After those 7 days, the present evil age will die forever, and a new age will begin. Everyone who is dead and buried will rise from death, and the rooms in the world of the dead will be opened. Then I, God Most High, will start judging all people. I will no longer be kind and gentle to sinners, because I will judge with truth and justice. Everything, good or bad, that people have done will be known, and I will quickly reward or punish them. On one side will be the fiery world of the dead, where some are punished forever. And on the other side will be the happy place of eternal blessing and rest. Then I, God Most High, will turn to the nations that have been brought back to life and say, Listen to me. I am the one you have ignored and disobeyed, and it is my law you have rejected. Look around. There is happiness and rest on one side, and misery and torment on the other. I will say those things on the day of final judgment. That will be a day when the sun and moon and stars will not shine. There will be no clouds or thunder, and lightning or wind, or water or air. Darkness will cover everything, so that evenings and mornings will disappear, and spring, summer, and winter will stop. There will be no heat or cold, no frost or hail, rain or dew. The light of day and the dark of night will be gone. No sunrise, no noon, no sunset. The only light will be the dazzling brightness of my presence, and everyone will see and follow this light that will shine for 7 years. Ezra, you are the only one who knows what I have planned for the day of final judgment. Only a few people will be saved. I said, Lord God, what I've already said is true. The people who are alive now and can obey your law are very fortunate. But no one is perfect. Every person alive has sinned against you. So I will keep praying for those people, because now I realize that the world to come will bring happiness to only a few, and misery to many. The wickedness in us has become strong enough to make us disobey your law. We are ruined and hopeless, and we face a terrible death. This wickedness has destroyed almost everyone who has lived. God said, "Listen, Ezra, and I will tell you again exactly what will happen. I created two worlds instead of just one. And you're right that only a few people are completely good, while most are evil. But think about this. If you had a few precious stones, would you add pieces of lead and clay to have more?" I answered, "No one would do that." Then God replied, "That's not all. Humbly ask the earth how much gold, silver, bronze, iron, lead, and clay it produces. It will tell you that there is more silver than gold, more bronze than silver, more iron than bronze, more lead than iron, and more clay than lead. Then you decide which ones are more valuable, those that are common or those that are rare." I said, "Lord God, common things are cheap, while the rare ones are expensive." God replied, "That's right. Now think carefully about what you have said. Whoever has something that is rare is happier than someone who has something that is plentiful. That's how it is with the final judgment I have planned. I will celebrate over the few people who will be saved, because they are the ones who have faithfully worshipped me and told others about me. I won't be sad about the crowds of people who will die. They are like fog, and they disappear as quickly as smoke or a flame that blazes up and then goes out." Ezra mourns the human mind. I said to the earth, "It's your fault that people were born. After all, every living thing, including the human mind, came from your dust. It would have been better if you had never been born. Then we would not have minds to think with. But as we grow older, our minds give us the ability to think, and they cause us pain because we know that we will someday die. We mourn in sadness while cattle and wild animals are happy, not knowing anything about what happens after death, whether good or bad. They don't have to face a final judgment, and so they are much better off than we are. We will someday survive the horrors of death, but for now, we must suffer the torture of life. Everyone who has ever lived has been evil and guilty of sinning against God. It would be much better for us if God did not judge us at death." The angel Uriel answered, "When God Most High was creating the world and Adam and his descendants, God first planned how the final judgment would take place. Think carefully about what you have just said. The mind gives people the ability to think, and they suffer for doing what they know is wrong. People have God's law, but refuse to obey it. And so they will have no excuse at the final judgment. God Most High has always been very patient with people, not for their sake, but for the sake of the world to come." What happens after we die? I then said, "Sir, please answer another question for me. What happens to us after we give up our soul and die? Will God keep us safe until the new world is created? Or will our torture begin right away? The angel answered, I will answer those questions for you. But don't include yourself among those who will be tortured. They have rejected God and religion, while you have always done what is right. You have been loyal to God Most High, though you won't see the record of these things until the end of time. And now I will tell you what happens at death. God Most High decides the exact time you will die. And when that time comes, your soul leaves the body and returns to God, the maker of life. The soul will then immediately praise God's glory. But it's not that way for people who have completely ignored God and hated those who worshipped Him. The souls of these rebellious people won't have a place to rest, but will wander forever, miserable and distressed. 7 things will make them sad. First, they have rejected the law of God Most High. Second, they can no longer change their minds and decide to worship God and have a good life. Third, they will see the blessings ready for those who believe in the promise of God. Fourth, they must think about the suffering they will face at the end of time. Fifth, they will see the safe homes of the faithful and the angels quietly guarding them. Sixth, they will realize that they will soon be tortured. And the 7th thing will trouble them the most. They will see the bright glory of God Most High and will be filled with shame and guilt. They will tremble in fear because the God they sinned against in life will judge them at the end of time. Now let me explain what will happen at death to those who faithfully obeyed God and His law during their lives, even when it was dangerous to do so. Listen to their reward. They will celebrate when they see the brightness of God's glory, and God will receive them into heaven. Then they will have eternal happiness for 7 reasons. First, because they were able to defeat the evil that was a part of them and weren't tempted to follow death instead of life. Second, because they will see how confused the souls of the wicked are as they wander around and what a terrible punishment is waiting for them at the end of time. Third, because they will hear that God, their Creator, will tell how faithfully they obeyed His law during their lives. Fourth, because they will know that at the end of time, they will be brought together in one place and blessed with peace, while angels guard them in silence. Fifth, because they will see both the cruel, harsh world they have escaped and the comfortable future world they will soon inherit forever. Sixth, because they will see how their faces will always shine as brightly as the sun or the stars. Seventh, and best of all, because they will celebrate without fear or shame as they hurry to meet God, the one they obeyed during their lives, and who will reward them in heaven. So now you know the rewards waiting for the people who faithfully worshiped God, and the punishments waiting for those who refuse to obey Him. These things will happen exactly as I have said. Then I asked, when the souls of the faithful people leave their bodies, will they have time to see what you have just described? He answered, they will have 7 days to see these things, and then they will be brought together to the place they will stay. No hope for the wicked at the final judgment. I asked, "Would you please answer another question for me? On the day of final judgment, will the faithful people of God Most High be able to ask Him to show mercy to the wicked? For example, will fathers be able to pray for their children, and children pray for their parents or brothers and sisters? What about close relatives or friends who pray for each other?" The angel Uriel said, "Since you are deserving, I will answer your questions. The final judgment will be a hard time, because the truth about every person will be told. Parents would never let their child get sick or go to sleep or eat or get well in their place. And children would never let their parents do that. In fact, slave owners would not ask their slaves to do that, and friends would not ask their friends. If all this is true for the present time, it will certainly be true at the final judgment. No one will be able to pray for another. All people will receive the reward or punishment they deserve." I replied, "If it's true that no person can pray for another, then why was Abraham able to pray for the people of Sodom? Moses prayed for our own ancestors who sinned in the desert. And Joshua prayed for the people of Israel while Achan was alive. During Saul's days as king, Samuel prayed for our people, just as David did for those who were dying from a horrible disease, and Solomon did when he dedicated the temple to God. The prophet Elijah prayed that rain would come, and that a dead person would come back to life. And King Hezekiah of Judah prayed during the rule of King Sennacherib of Assyria. Many others have prayed similar prayers. So at the final judgment, why won't God's faithful people be able to pray for the wicked, who are even more evil than their ancestors?" Uriel answered, "The world you now live in isn't the end. God's bright glory cannot always be seen here. That's why God's most faithful people could pray for those who are weak. But the final judgment will be the end of this present world, and will begin the world that will last forever. Then all wickedness will disappear, while selfishness will be wiped out. Faith and right living and truth will take over. So at the final judgment, no one will be able to show mercy to someone guilty of sinning against God, and no one will be able to harm someone who has been faithful. People have no hope." I said to Uriel the angel, "I still believe what I told you before. It would have been much better if the world had not produced Adam, or at least if it had not given him the ability to sin. What good is it for us to be sad our entire lives and then have only punishment to face after we die? When Adam sinned, he caused misery not only for himself, but for all of us who are his descendants. So what if we are promised a life that never ends? The sins we have committed will bring only death. We have completely failed and are hopeless, with no chance of eternal life. God has promised us safe homes in heaven, yet our lives are filled with wickedness and sin, even though God Most High has promised to help us be faithful. He has shown us how wonderful heaven will be, where good things will never spoil, and we will have everything we need. But we won't ever get there, because our lives here on earth are sinful. You said that the faces of good people will shine brighter than the stars. What good is that for us, whose faces will be blacker than night? We have sinned each day we have lived, not knowing that we will suffer when we die. Uriel replied, "Everyone on earth must struggle to do what is right. If they are defeated by evil, they will suffer, just as you have said. But if they win the fight, they will receive the rewards I have told you about. That's why Moses told the people long ago to choose life, so that they would live a good and prosperous life. But they did not believe him or the prophets who lived after him. They even refused to believe me. So when they die, there will be only a little sadness, while there will be a joyful celebration for those who will be saved. Will God show mercy to the wicked?" I said, "Uriel, I know that God Most High shows mercy to everyone, even before they are born, and he shows great love to those who choose to obey his law. He is very patient with sinners because he created them, and he likes to answer their prayers. God forgives sinners, whether they are dead or alive or not yet born. If he did not forgive sins, everyone in the entire world would die. He gives us what is good, so that we can have life. If he didn't, then not even one person in 10,000 would live. God is the judge who accepts sinners and forgives the guilt of the people he created. Otherwise, only very few would be left alive." Chapter 8. Uriel answered, "God Most High created this world where many people live, but he created the future world for only a few of them. For example, Ezra, if you ask the earth, it will tell you that it produces a lot of clay to make pots. But this same earth has a very small amount of gold. That's the way it is with this present world. Many have been created, but only a few will be saved. People live only a short time." I said to myself, "I must try to understand what all this means. I didn't decide when to be born, and I won't decide when to die. God will let me live only a few years." Then I prayed, "Our Lord in heaven, please hear this prayer from your servant. Plant a new seed in us so that our hearts and minds will obey you, and so that all humans will stop sinning and live. You alone are God, and you have created each one of us, giving us life before we are born and adding arms and legs to our unborn bodies. You keep us safe in fire and water for the 9 months that you shape our bodies. Both the womb that holds the unborn baby and the baby itself are protected until the time of birth arrives. Then, in obedience to you, the mother's breasts produce milk so her baby can be fed for a while. After that, your love helps the baby grow and learn what is right. You teach the child your law and guide it with your wisdom. You are the creator of life, and so you can take the life of this child or let it live. I ask you, Lord, if you carefully create everyone and then put them to death, why do you create them at all? I realize that you care about all people and know them well, but I am very sad about the suffering of your chosen ones. I am mourning the pain of Israel, the descendants of Jacob. You chose them to be your own, and so I will pray for them and for all of us on earth who sin against you. The time when you will judge is coming soon. That's why I am begging you to listen to my prayer." Ezra prays for the people of Israel. Just before I was taken up into heaven, I prayed, "Our Lord, you live forever in the highest heavens, and they belong to you. Your throne is too large to measure, and your glory is greater than we can imagine. Angels tremble when they stand in front of you, and they change into wind or fire at your command. We believe your laws and everything you say, just as an army believes its strong leader. One look from you dries up the deepest ocean, and mountains melt when they see your anger. Your truth will never be changed. I am your servant, because you created me. So please hear my prayer. I will speak as long as I am alive and can think. Ignore the sins of your people, and instead look carefully at those who have faithfully worshipped you. Forget what the wicked do, but remember how your faithful followers struggled to obey your laws, even when this caused them trouble. Don't pay attention to those who constantly do wrong, but take care of everyone who listens with fear to what you command. Don't wipe out those people who behave like wild animals. Instead, honor those who enjoy teaching your law to others. Don't get angry with those you know are no better than wild beasts. Instead, show your love to everyone who has trusted your glory. We and our ancestors have done things that led to death. Yet it is because of our sins that you are called a God of mercy. We are sinful and guilty, so if you have pity on us, you will certainly be called a merciful God. You will bless the people who have always done what is right. Why are you so angry with people? What good are we anyway? No one on earth has ever been perfect. Everyone has sinned. If you show mercy to those who have done nothing for others, then everyone will know how kind and good you are.